Ronnie had found the meager catch of food and water, and a couple of swallows restored some of his wits. He couldn't move George alone. Even if he got the vines woven the right way, dragging the travoy alone would leave obvious tracks. He would have to find Petrus and the others, even though that had been against his orders. He sucked at a ration bar, letting the surface coating of salt and sugar revive him, then took another swig from the safe bottle. He shouldn't eat much, he remembered, if he was short of water. If only it weren't dark. If only his head didn't hurt. If only he had someone to help him. But reality settled on his shoulders like a cloak of misery. Dark, hurt, alone. Either he figured it out, or no one would. He made his way back to George's unconscious body in the dark, tripping more than once on unseen roots and stones. How long would the drug or poison keep George unconscious? He wished he knew more about drugs. He tried to redo the vines in the dark by feel, but his heart wasn't in it. A drop of cold water flicked his hot neck, and he jumped. Then another.
If I can pull George along, the rain will wash out our tracks.
Ronnie didn't let himself think how much harder it would be to pull the travoy through mud. Instead, he yanked at the poles, straining, staggering uphill, away from the creek. Suddenly, it was easy. He lurched forward, almost jogging, then realized that must mean George had fallen off, or through, the vine webbing.
Oh!
It was too much. The pain in his head, the rain, the danger, the uncooperative vines. He had just found George's body when he saw the lights in the sky. A flitter, its searchlight directed into the forest.
Bloody hell!
He threw himself back, away from George. They had IR sensors, of course, and night vision goggles. They could see George. They could see him. He crouched, shaking from fear and exertion. Above the wind and thickening rain, he could just hear the flitter's drone. Its searchlight flicked among the trees, probing. But the canopy was thick here near the stream, and the light never touched him. It did flick across George, and that garish belt pack he refused to bury. And it came back and centered there. The flitter sank into the canopy, its searchlight illuminating slanting lines of rain above and drips below.
They'll have a ladder, or a line, for dropping hunters directly into the forest. If I stay here...
He plunged away into darkness. Upslope, upstream, into the thicker forest and more broken country. If he could get rock between him and the IR scans, they couldn't see him. He picked his way from tree to tree in the dim radiance of the flitter's light. It would do no good to hurry. He must not fall and make a noise. He had a few seconds, perhaps, as someone came down the line from the flitter, someone who surely must be concentrating on a safe descent rather than a possible fugitive. Light brightened behind him. He dared a peek and saw a light source at head level, a helmet light, feebler than the flitter's searchlight, but perfectly adequate for close work. It lowered as if its bearer crouched. Over George, Ronnie was sure. He struggled against the desire to go back and protect his friend. Now, two helmet lights glowed back there. He had to leave. He had to go now, while they did whatever they were doing to George, because they must not catch all four of them. That was the only chance. But he had never imagined that he might have to leave a friend behind. He made himself move, one slow step after another, away from the lights.
I'm sorry, George. I'm sorry.
He made it, perhaps 50 meters.
Hey!
Reflex threw him forward into a wild, panicky run.
Over there!
Ronnie fell over another rock, banging both shins, and scrambled up. Too late for silence, for subtlety. Only speed would help him now. He tried to move faster through his memory of what the lightning revealed and fell again. He was in the creek, now only a meter wide. Rain lashed at him as he climbed, stumbled, climbed again. Ronnie struggled on, uphill, ignoring everything but the need to get away. His feet slipped on wet rocks, in mud. Rain beat his face, plastered his hair down, dragging at his shirt and trousers. Flash after flash of lightning revealed a grotesque landscape of wind-whipped foliage, ragged rocks, wind-tossed rain. He followed the creek, no longer worried about the poison in its water, until he reached its source. Behind him, he could see flickering lights. The hunters, following what must be an obvious trail. He licked his lips, grateful for the pure rainwater that drenched him.
Where now?
The next flash of lightning showed him a narrow black cleft above and to his right. He clambered over the wet rocks, hoping it was deep enough to hide in, hoping it wasn't just a trick of lightning.
There he is!
Behind him, a stab of light. His shoulder burned. He plunged to the ground behind a rock and tried to see where the cleft had been. Lightning again. There, only a jump and a stretch. It still looked deep, a black gash in the rocky slope. He forced himself to stand, to take those few steps, to reach up and haul himself into darker darkness. When the next lightning came, he saw it as a blue-white flash against dark walls. Limping, staggering, he tried to work his way further in. Water trickled along between his feet, getting deeper. Pebbles rolled, and he lurched against the rocks, biting his tongue at the pain in his shoulder. Then the ground fell out from under his feet, and he slid down a crumbling slope into black oblivion.